right, John chapter 14 here this morning. John chapter 14. Actually, two, 3 months ago, I actually considered starting a series on the Holy Spirit after we finished up the doctrine of Christ. And I just didn't sense the right timing for that back in November and December. But you think about the person of the Holy Spirit dwells within us. So I think it's important for us to know who is living within. If you know, as you think about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, and sometimes this doctrine is referred to as pneumatology. There's all kinds of big words that are used to describe some of the doctrines of the Bible, I should say. Pneumatology actually comes from two Greek words, pneuma, which means spirit, and logos, which means doctrine or teaching. So you see here the teaching of the Spirit. You think about as far as what Jesus even said here, just by way of introduction. John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. So again, the Lord Jesus says, you know, gives a promise that the Father will send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Now, as far as pneumatology, as you think about the Greek word, even as we see the word Spirit is the Greek word in the New Testament, pneuma is the Holy Ghost, is the living Spirit of God. Now, there's a lot of confusion as far as this doctrine is concerned. That's why I believe it's important for us to have answers from Scripture. Confusion as far as the doctrine of the Holy Ghost. There's misconceptions and misunderstanding because, you know, the truth is not considered. But sometimes it's also ignorance and neglect. Notice with me Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. There's different extremes as far as the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. A lot of times Baptists will avoid the doctrine because they don't want to appear to be be charismatic. You know, there's times when my brother-in-law and I joke about being Bapticostal, you know, getting Bapticostal, but charismatics emphasize the Holy Spirit, and I believe that's an unscriptural emphasis because even as we see in Scripture, the Holy Spirit testifies of Christ. He does not testify of himself. So when you go into a charismatic bookstore, I tried working in one for 2 months, and I decided it wasn't going to work. So when I gave my notice, he says, "That's why I wanted you here. You're a Baptist. I wanted another perspective for the customers." I'm thinking, no, you don't. You're charismatic. Most of your books in here are charismatic books. I only lasted 2 months. It was a kind of a second job type of thing. And so I told him, no, I'm done. I'm giving you my 2-week notice. But that's what I noticed as we're checking in books all the time. I mean, it was Holy Spirit this, Holy Spirit that. I mean, that's what it was all about. That's an unbiblical emphasis. But I guess, you know, again, as we talk about the ditch on both sides of the road, it's also wrong for us as Baptists to avoid the doctrine because it is a doctrine of Scripture. Here, as we think about this neglect, notice Acts 19, verse 1, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. So these are disciples. They claim to know Christ and so on. And he said unto them, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And he said unto them, "Unto what then were ye baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." I want to point out here, even as we studied through the book of Acts, we saw this. They were not baptized by John. They were baptized unto John's baptism. Not everything that John taught evidently was passed on to the next generation of disciples. Because you notice here, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And I just preached recently from Matthew chapter 3. We see that John taught about the Holy Ghost that would be coming. And even that Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. So again, we see ignorance and neglect in many cases in Christianity as well. Also, perversion. Notice with me 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. There's a lot of perversion as far as this doctrine as well. And again, that's why we need to have answers from Scripture so that when we are confronted with that perversion, we know how to answer. Not just, why don't you listen to my preacher's sermons? No. Perversion. I'm not saying it's wrong for you to re-listen to them so that you can remember what the preacher said, but another spirit. I want you to think about the charismatic movement is involved with another spirit. And even in our own family, we were aware of this. There was another spirit that came under the influence of someone. And notice 2 Corinthians 11, verses 1 and following. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to the Spirit. Is that what the Bible says? Notice, as a chaste virgin to Christ. So Paul is not wanting them to follow him and not looking at Christ, even as he emphasizes, you know, he follow me as I follow Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached. By the way, I think the Jesus of a lot of our modern churches is not the Bible Jesus. Even as I was preaching through the Gospel of John in Hawaii, I constantly came across the idea that our modern day would not accept the Bible Jesus. Even as they did not accept Jesus even as he was on this earth. But again, preaching another Jesus, a beer-loving Jesus of our modern day, you know, hipster Jesus, you know, who's the cool Jesus, long-haired hippie Jesus. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. But notice here it says, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. So again, we see here that there's another spirit emphasized. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to see a lot of scripture today. I don't apologize for that, because I want to be a scripturally based, a Bible-based preacher. But 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. All right, so here's the Holy Spirit speaking about what's going to happen in the latter times. That in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Notice this, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Even as Brother Yeager was teaching about yoga meditation in churches. I literally believe that's a part of all of this, these doctrines of devils. But again, giving heed to seducing spirits. So here's what I believe takes place in these modern day charismatic word of faith type churches. It's not the Holy Spirit that's moving in their midst. It's another spirit. And I want you to consider, even as Satan likes to portray himself as an angel of light, I literally believe that's what takes place here as far as the Holy Spirit. In a lot of these churches, you know, the Holy Spirit, they say, is moving in their midst as they begin speaking in tongues and rolling in aisles. And I remember visiting somebody in the hospital, and he had one of these charismaniac churches on. And oh, did I say that? And somebody had just been quote unquote saved, you know, just believed in Jesus, and they were being baptized by the Spirit in this service. And literally, this is what was on the television. This guy is standing up there, and all of a sudden he starts shaking, and he goes, da, 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 as he's starting to, quote unquote, speak in tongues. And then the preacher says, and if I remember right, this was one of the VeggieTales, you know, Rod Parsley. if I remember right, it was in World Harvest Church, if I remember correctly. I don't remember now, it doesn't matter, they're all the same. But he said this. He said, oh, we've never seen it happen this quickly before. What happened quickly? That you can stutter because you're coming under the power of another spirit? That's a demonic spirit. That's a devil. Notice again, doctrines of devils. By the way, the Bible even says, not everyone will speak in tongues. You know, we've seen that. But again, you notice here again, this seducing spirit that I believe is the key to this false stuff about the Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 4 gives another perspective on this perversion of the Spirit. Again, another spirit. I've known of Baptists who have come under the influence of this, even talking about being drunk in the Spirit, and you're going back to, you know, Acts 2. You know, these are They're drunkards. They're full of wine. Notice 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. I believe the spirits here is speaking of a spiritual teaching, right? So you have teachings, doctrines of devils on one side, and we have, that's not saying that, but I'm just choosing right hand, left hand. So, doctrines of devils on one hand, and we have the true spiritual teaching on the other hand. Notice it says here whether they are of God. So we are to try or test the spirits to determine if they are of God. And here's what's happened as I've talked to people who are involved in the charismatic movement. They will elevate their experience above what Scripture says. They'll even say, as I point out things about tongues in Acts 2 and various places, they will even say, I've never seen that before, but here's what I experienced. I just want you to experience what I've experienced. I want you to consider that is the influence of another spirit. Because, again, they have to exalt their experience above what the Word of God says. That's not scriptural. That's not scriptural spiritual teaching then. It says, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. By the way, why is it that all of a sudden, the late 1800s and early 1900s, all of a sudden this stuff has been emphasized again? Heading into our modern day, the current day. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. All right, so here's the test. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Well, wait a minute. These charismatics talk about Jesus. Paul's already talked about there can be another Jesus, not the real Jesus. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Why is it that multitudes are following these charismatic leaders? It's because they are of the world. It appeals to people. Oh, you mean I can get healed of my ingrown toenail? They don't heal the real stuff. But notice again, they are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. By the way, again, Jesus says in Matthew 7, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, and even casting out spirits. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know ye we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So again, as far as this another spirit, we see here the spirit of Antichrist. It's not truly part of Christ. Now, as far as the personality of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, used interchangeably in Scripture, is not merely an impersonal force, influence, energy, or emanation from God or nature. Now, there's a popular thing in our day of Star Trek. It used to be really popular, and then they've found ways to reintroduce it and all that in our current time. Notice, think about this. As they say on Star Trek, may the force be with you. What's the root of that? The same things we saw last week with yoga. Eastern religions. May the force be with you. That's Eastern religions. Star Trek became very popular because of some of the Eastern religions coming into our culture. The Beatles and various ones have introduced that to our culture. And I want you to think about how popular Star Trek is amongst believers, so-called Christians. Either they're not saved or they're not discerning, even as we've talked about as far as ethics. The Holy Ghost is not just a force. He's a person. The Holy Ghost is a person of the Godhead and a member of the Trinity. He is someone, not something. Now, personality implies life and the ability for fellowship and a relationship. Notice with me 2 Corinthians 13, 14. Actually, I was just going to mention one phrase. The communion of the Holy Ghost. That talks about the fellowship of the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't know if you do this. I don't believe it's wrong for us to pray to speak directly to the Holy Spirit. He is a person. I'm not talking about, you know, in some heavenly prayer language, you know, that the Holy Spirit supposedly gives us. But again, we have Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I believe it's scripturally okay for us to have communion, I should say, with the Holy Ghost, to fellowship with the Holy Ghost. He is a person. So as a person, I believe we can speak directly to the Spirit of God. We'll talk about some of that. Now, as far as evidences of personality, again, we're emphasizing right at the start here that he is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person, not just some force. And we'll talk about his deity and all that. First of all, he has names given to him. Names are given to a person. Holy Spirit, not just small h, small s, Spirit. Capital H, capital S, Spirit. Holy Ghost is the same way. In fact, Matthew 28:19, we are to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. All right, so he has a name, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. He's also called the Spirit of God. Even as we saw already in 1 John 4:2, the Spirit of God, capital S of God. It's not just small s, Spirit of God. In other words, it's God's Spirit communing with you. You think about this, it's the capital S Spirit of God. He is a person. And as we've already seen in John 14, his name is the Comforter, capital C. This is a Greek word, paraclete, one that's called along to your side. It's almost like a lawyer that's called along to your side. You know, somebody's in trouble, they say, I want to talk to my lawyer. In a very real sense, we have two advocates or two lawyers alongside. It says, first of all, in 1 John, that we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ the righteous, who's pleading our case. And consider also, though, we have the Holy Spirit that comes alongside to help us. And as years ago I heard a preacher say, if we're comfortable, we won't see our need for the Comforter. Even as the hymn, the Comforter has come. I won't do the antics of that other preacher. Every once in a while, James talks about that. Baptist preacher dancing around. It's like, the Comforter. Anyway, the Comforter has come. He's come alongside us. In fact, let's look at this John 14 again. We didn't look at that in detail. I forgot there was another verse there I wanted to show you in context here. John 14, verse 16. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter. So another Comforter speaks in addition to Christ himself. Even as Christ says in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. You think about the triune God coming to dwell within us. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Capital S, Spirit of truth. Again, that's a title, that's a name. But again, he's the Comforter that he may abide with you forever. Also, verse 26, John 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Hang on to that phrase. We'll look at that here in a moment as far as evidences of personality. So again, he's called the Comforter. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient, it's good for you that I go away. They're not thinking that at this point. You know, Jesus is talking about leaving. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. So again, we see here this Comforter. Now, as we're looking at these verses, notice personal pronouns are used. He, him. So we see here that there's reference to personal pronouns. By the way, with that said, I believe that's another reason why we need to avoid gender-neutral Bibles. That's a corruption of Scripture. You know, gender-neutral Bibles are, you know, because this gender blending that we have in our culture, gender-neutral Bibles are perversion, a corruption of Scripture. Amen. Now, there is one exception, though, and this is what people like to point out. There is one exception in Romans chapter 8. All right, so he, him. Now, I want you to consider that the King James translators did not take liberties in their translation process like the NIV translators and all that. They've taken liberty to change things as far as the Word of God. I would consider here this exception in Romans 8. Notice Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit, now what's the next word in your Bible? Itself. Okay, it doesn't say himself, the Spirit himself. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Also verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit, notice this, itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. See, it's not a person. Oneness theology will kind of point some of this stuff out. You know, there's one God, the Father, and he portrays himself three different ways. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Well, if that's the case, we have a schizophrenic God, because God in the Bible talks to himself. If I have a God who's talking to himself, then we're in trouble, because you know that means he has schizophrenia. I mean, he's carrying on a conversation with himself. There's three persons in the Godhead. I've actually heard somebody say, you know, that that's not a big deal unless you answer yourself. David talks to his soul. Soul? You know, yep, you never talk to yourself, right? What I love is that we have a God that's dwelling within us, and I can talk to God anytime. I don't have to talk to myself. Now, I want to point out, though, with the first of all, the context. The context indicates that the Spirit has a, what? Personal ministry. The Spirit is helping our infirmities. Verse 16. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. So first of all, we see that the Spirit here is providing a personal ministry. Pneuma is a neuter noun. Remember I talked about pneumatology. Pneuma, the Spirit. Pneuma is a neuter noun. It is a neuter pronoun. So here's why I say that. The King James translators translated it consistently. They did not take opportunity to alter what Scripture said. There's actually a neuter pronoun used in this passage. So again, we see that they were consistent. Now, the Spirit possesses qualities of personality. While we're here in Romans 8, notice Romans 8, verse 27. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Notice the mind of the Spirit. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So again, we see here the intellect of the Holy Spirit. An impersonal force does not have intellect. May the force be with you. This Eastern religion karma or whatever is behind it. But intellect. Also 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So we see that the Spirit possesses intellect. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He has intelligence because he is a person. Of course, he has divine, eternal intelligence. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Notice the Spirit of God knows these things. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I believe that passage is emphasis on comparing Scripture with Scripture. Comparing spiritual teaching with spiritual teaching. Again, that's why false doctrine comes up. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So again, we see here that the Holy Spirit has intellect. He also has emotions. Romans 15:30 talks about the love of the Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 says that the Spirit of God can be grieved. I want you to think about the fact that as we are created in God's image, we have emotions. Various emotions we could state. Now, I want to point out here, first of all, that love actually is not a feeling or an emotion. Love is actually an act of the will. But it leads to emotions. That's why I leave it listed as an emotion. But the love of the Spirit, but the grieving of the Spirit. You know, even as somebody loses a loved one, they will grieve the loss of that person. But again, we see here the emotional nature of the Spirit. Also his will. He has a will. 1 Corinthians 12:11, talking about spiritual gifts. In the context of spiritual gifts, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Notice, as the Spirit of God wills, these gifts are given out. So again, we see here that the Spirit of God will distribute these gifts according to his will. So again, the intellect, emotions, and will of the Holy Spirit of God points out the fact that he is a person. And by the way, talking about these spiritual gifts, I believe we need to be searching and seeking what gift the Spirit of God has entrusted with us so that we can minister to the body. Consider also that he has actions of personality. The Bible says that he leads and guides. Even in the context of Romans 8:16 that we saw earlier, Romans 8:14 talks about the sons of God being led by the Spirit. He also teaches. We saw that in John 14. And John 15:26 says that he testifies of Christ. So when the Holy Spirit teaches, is he teaching about himself? Who is he teaching? About Christ. All right. So he's teaching about Christ. So again, we see here he has a teaching ministry. Now, I'm thankful that we don't have an impersonal force in this other classroom here and out there in the Fellowship Hall. It's not an impersonal force that is teaching God's Word here this morning in these other classes. It is a person. And the Holy Spirit, as a person, teaches us God's truth. Also, he convicts. Notice me, John 16. This is a ministry of a person that our world does not like. They try to silence this convicting work of the Holy Spirit as a person. Again, verse 7 says, you know, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he, personal pronoun, is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. I heard a very good description and definition of reprove or reproof here this last week as I was listening to a preacher. Notice what the root word of reprove is. Prove. All right, so reproof or reprove means to prove again. You notice the emphasis here. When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. They already have the proof of sin, righteousness, and judgment because of the Word of God, because of you know, God's nature is seen in creation and all that. But notice here, the Holy Spirit will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. I thought that was a good description and definition of reproof. Proving or proving it again. Reproof of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Again, he convicts, he reproves the world. He also calls and commissions. Remember in Acts 13, the Spirit said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. In fact, in that, I believe in verse 4 then, it says that the Spirit sent them out, even in cooperation with the church sending them out. So he calls and commissions. In fact, Acts 20 verse 28 says that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, makes a pastor, a shepherd, overseer of the flock. I have a responsibility to make sure that this flock does not allow doctrinal error in and so on. So again, he calls and commissions. He also commands. In Acts chapter 8, Philip was commanded to go near the Ethiopian's chariot. He can give a command as a person. He also anoints. Acts 10 verse 38 says that Jesus Christ was anointed by the Spirit. In fact, Isaiah 61 talks about Jesus Christ being anointed by the Spirit. He hath anointed me. Even as we see in Scripture, the Holy Spirit is pictured by oil. Right? So even the anointing oil was a picture of the Spirit of God coming upon someone in the Old Testament. He also forbids and restrains. Notice with me Acts 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." After we had seen the vision, he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Notice closed door, finally an open door. He forbids and he restrains. Sometimes I don't fully understand that, how the Holy Spirit, or why even the Holy Spirit does some of that, but according to his will. He also helps. We've already seen that in Romans 8. He helps our infirmities. Now, let me ask you, how many of you have no infirmities? We need help, don't we? We need the Spirit of God helping us. He helps us. Even as we also saw in Romans 8, he bears witness with our spirit. So again, we see the personal ministry of the Holy Spirit. He also searches. We saw that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He searches the deep things of God as a person. We also saw in 1 Corinthians 12, he gives gifts according to his will. And finally, he speaks. We saw in 1 Timothy 4, 1, the Spirit speaketh expressly, then the latter time some will depart from the faith. What I think is also interesting, notice Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28, verse 25. Here's Paul speaking to the Jewish leaders in Rome. Some believed the things which were spoken, some believed not. Verse 24. Verse 25. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Notice this statement. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet, unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Notice again, the Holy Ghost spake by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers. So again, he speaks. What I think is also interesting, and even in the last book of the Bible, Revelation 2 and 3, seven times, what does Jesus say? He has the same thing over and over again. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, as we have the completed word of God, this is how the Holy Spirit speaks. He speaks through this book to our spirit. Now, how does that happen in a practical way? So why do we need teaching? I want you to consider, even as the Holy Spirit speaks through a teacher or preacher, the Holy Spirit will say to our spirit as he lives within us. This does not happen freely with an unsaved person. Why? Because they're a natural man. They can't comprehend what this book has to say. Well, they might read words on a page, but they don't get it. You know, some of these religious groups, they read the King James Bible even. And they stay in their cult. They don't have the Spirit of God dwelling within them to show them, to tell them. That's right. That's right. So as I teach and preach, or as you read the Scriptures, I believe the Holy Spirit within us says, that's right. Pay attention to that. So again, he speaks. As the Spirit speaketh to the churches, we need to take heed. We need to have an ear to hear. He is a person. And I believe, what I think is amazing is, God the Holy Spirit wants to have communion or fellowship with us. Now, here's how I practically do that. I have time of worship and praise for God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. As I've gone through Scripture, I believe it's about 30 different names or titles of the Spirit of God. So each day, I'll praise and worship God the Father based on some of the titles that are found in Scripture. God the Son. If I remember right, there's like 150 names and titles of the Lord Jesus Christ in Scripture. In fact, sometimes they almost appear interchangeable with God the Father. But then there's also, again, as I said, about 30 titles or names of the Spirit of God. For example, as I go down through the list, each week I pray through that list. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being the Comforter. For comforting us in our tribulation, and so on. He's a person. And I believe as a member of the Godhead, we can praise and worship this person and have fellowship with him. Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity to take time to look into the Scriptures and see what your word says about this member of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Thank you for revealing that to us. And Father, we don't spend a lot of time studying this because the Holy Spirit's ministry is testifying of Christ. But yet we live in a day when there's so much false teaching about the Holy Spirit. It's a person. It's not just a force in nature. Not even just a force from you, God. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost is a person. Thank you for his personal ministry in our lives. Holy Spirit of God, that you would teach us your truth so we can discern the spirit of error in these last days. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.